I speak to you in the name of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Harvard professor Hugh O'Doherty says that all conflict is about power and control. And when we think about it, a great deal of human activity, human time, human energy, human effort is put into exercising power and control in one way or another. And today's gospel certainly bears out that reality. The gospel's central issue focuses on the application of Sabbath rules, specifically whether it is forbidden to heal on the seventh day, the day of rest. The real issue, though, the underlying issue, is power, is control. It's really about the way the leader of the synagogue tried to use Sabbath rules to discredit Jesus, regardless of the good that he had done. The leader of the synagogue, in other words, made a power play, a power move over and against Jesus, as he indignantly and repeatedly insisted that Jesus was wrong, that he was wrong in not waiting for another day to cure the woman. Now, understandably, the synagogue leader felt threatened by Jesus and feared that he might lose control of his congregation, that he would be left with diminished power as a result of Jesus' acts and as a result of his growing reputation and the throngs that were drawn to him. The synagogue leader completely ignored the benefit to the woman of Jesus' healing and instead employed a literal, self-serving interpretation of the law. And he did so in a way to attempt to control Jesus and to protect his own status, his own position, his own institution. Today's gospel then clearly reveals the tendency for humans to resort to the methods of power and control to achieve what they want or what they think they need. Today's gospel verifies an insight struck by Richard Rohr in The Divine Dance. Rohr terms this group narcissism. And Rohr says it has nothing to do with love for God. It isn't a search for truth or love. Rather, it's a grasping for control. And every group, at its less mature stages of development, will try to put God into the pocket of its own members' only jackets. And of course, by this standard, the church is still in a less mature phase of its growth, even after 2,000 years, because we know how we attempt to invoke God for ourselves, how we quote and use scripture as a weapon above and over others, how we judge ourselves better than, superior to, those we think or we deem to have it wrong. And of course, church history reveals many instances in which power and control led to examples of group narcissism and often tragic results. Throughout history, group after group has attempted to use ritualistic and legalistic power to gain control over others and to put itself in a position of power and strength. whether it's the division between the Roman Church of the West and the Orthodox Church of the East, whether it's the bloody wars that erupted between Protestants and Catholics, or whether it's the verbal and political fights we see today between conservatives and liberals. In every instance, we see church leaders attempting to use power to control others and to win for their particular views of the faith. If you're interested in seeing a particularly revealing instance of this in our own time, there's a very powerful docudrama on Netflix called The Family. And it documents the efforts of a very secretive little group to influence politicians in the United States and abroad. And it provides quite considerable insight into the way in which the law, scripture, tradition can be packaged in a particular way to serve a particular cause or interest. One that I would suggest has very little to do with the gospel, with the good news that Jesus proclaimed. But check it out on Netflix if you have Netflix. It's quite revealing, shocking in some ways, not surprising in others, which is just as shocking that it's not surprising. Admittedly, although we all have this natural tendency to seek out power and to use power to benefit ourselves and to further our own priorities, power and control are not necessarily always bad. Certainly, power can be used, can be turned to good, can be deployed in the cause of truth and justice. But it seems that all too often, though, power is used not in the service of some greater good or some higher cause. All too often, power seems to be used to benefit ourselves and to further our own self-interest. All too often, power and control is deployed in selfish ways. And if we were only to open our eyes, we could see that all around us. But sadly, we seldom dare to admit this truth within and among us. We repress it, we cover it up, we hide from it, we ignore it. And sometimes we're simply unaware that it is a part of what drives us. For Christians, the bottom line about power and control is best understood, I would suggest, in this way. Its negative use, like that of the leader of the synagogue, is a function of power over and against. Whenever we use power over others in the absence of love, the action leads us separated from God and from the values of God. It denies the God-givenness within each one of us. The leader of the synagogue attempted to preserve his own power and to control the community by using the power of his authority and a literal expression of Sabbath law to dishonor and weaken Jesus and to control those present so that they would not follow a rival. But today's gospel also provides us with an example of a better way to use power. In today's gospel, we witness Jesus acting out of compassion for the plight of the crippled woman and employing for her benefit the greatest power in the universe, the power of love. And he used that power for, not against, not to control, but to help and heal and give life. Jesus used his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of compassionate love, to heal the woman. This is the Jesus about whom Paul wrote in Philippians as the human Lord who did not misuse the power of God, did not exploit it with selfish purposes, but humbled himself in obedience to God, giving himself away even unto death on a cross. Both Jesus and the synagogue leader had power, but they chose to exercise the power with which they had been entrusted in very different ways. Jesus acted not for himself, not to gain status or position, not to attract a following, not to uphold a particular authority that was placed in himself. Jesus acted purely out of love. The woman had suffered. The woman was in pain. The woman was in need. And in an act of emptying service, Jesus came to her, welcomed her, embraced her, and healed her. He drew a circle large enough so that it would not exclude anyone or seek power against anyone. He used the power of love to unlock the God within each of us, a power through which we can follow him in giving ourselves away and caring for others. And so the challenge of today's gospel is, how do we use the power that has been entrusted in us? Because make no mistake about it, each of us has some power. Do we use that power simply to benefit ourselves, to further our own interests, to strengthen our own position? Do we use it to control and manipulate others? Or do we generously give that power away in acts of service and love? Do we use the power we have, however big or however small it may be, to benefit others, to further the building of the kingdom that Jesus came to proclaim? A kingdom of love, a kingdom of compassion, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of reconciliation, a kingdom that respects the dignity of every human being. May we go forth from this place emboldened by Jesus's example and witness to the power of love. May it be so.